Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I hope they get it done by the July 4th deadline. I can't believe it's already the 4th of July coming up next week, but they are determined to get this one big, beautiful bill across the finish line in the Senate, and then once again in the House. The House already got the job done, but then they'll have to take another look at it here once the Senate completes their work. But they're hoping to get it all done by the 4th of July and see some fireworks for this one big, beautiful bill. But stop the presses. Breaking news. Oh, no. Here we go. You know, if it was a Fox News radio breaking news alert, you would hear the dong. Dong. What's the big news? The Missoula City Council voted to oppose the one big beautiful bill. Oh, that's it. That's it. All you waiters and waitresses that were hoping to see no tax on tips. Sorry. The Missoula City Council has now officially weighed in. All you farmers and ranchers that didn't want to see the death tax come down upon you to kill your farmer ranch, the Missoula City Council has weighed in. They love taxing people to death, as we know. Anyway, you just got to laugh. This was a KPAX headline from last night. I spoke with Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines about that and much more earlier this morning before he jumped into the Montana coffee. But first, we had to start with, the big news this week. Senator, great to have you. What a week it has been.
It has been quite a week. What a Saturday it was when those B-2s took out the nuclear capabilities there in Iran.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? I know some of President Trump's critics are manning up and giving credit where credit's due and just describing what a remarkable moment in American history this truly is. But some of the fake news media out there, they just can't get themselves to even give credit. They're trying to do everything they can to undermine what a truly accomplishment this was.
Aaron, I think it's important to look at where we're at in the history with Iran. It's 45 years of regimes that consistently have been chanting death to America. They refer to Israel as little Satan, the United States as big Satan. If Americans don't understand that this is a threat to the homeland, it's to us. This is not just a threat to Israel. This is a threat to America, a regime that tried to assassinate President Trump, that's killed hundreds of U.S. troops, that is behind the terror proxies, Hamas, Hezbollah, Houthis. This was a moment that President Trump rose to. He seized it. He needed to be decisive. He was, and he acted. A lot of presidents have been played like fiddles. Obama, Biden, by the Iranians. Trump saw the nonsense there and acted. And there's one thing, only one thing, the Iranians respect and understand. And that's strength. And that's what President Trump delivered.
All right. That's just the first topic we covered with Senator Steve Daines. We're going to get to the Roadless Rule Initiative being repealed, his reaction to the laughable Missoula City Council, and much more right after this. And then we'll take your phone calls and get your reactions. There's
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, this is just hilarious. I saw the headline from KPAX TV Tuesday night. Oh, no, stop the presses. The Missoula City Council is against the one big, beautiful bill. Senator Steve Daines, I'm sure this has you deeply reconsidering your position for tax relief and more.
You know, Aaron, I was thinking about supporting President Trump's bill, but with the Missoula Council's action, I'm just not sure. I'll tell you. I mean, nothing says we're more out of touch with Montana than something like that. You know, what they're saying is actually, though, if I want to give them a compliment, Aaron, they're true to form. They believe in raising taxes. They believe in bigger government. So not passing Trump's big, beautiful bill will result in a 30% tax increase for the American people, the largest tax increase in American history. If you work it out, what that means, the average Montanan, $1,700 a year for the average family in Montana, increase in taxes. So I guess they're true to form there in Missoula, where the city council wants to see higher taxes. That's exactly what we're going to get if we don't pass President Trump's big, beautiful bill.
Yeah, Missoula's already effectively, the Democrats with the county and the city have already raised taxes on their own citizens like 20%, and then you pile this on top of it. Yeah, here they go. They want to raise taxes on working families. Again, when it comes to the one big beautiful bill, of course, that you're clearly supporting, Senator Daines, do you think Congress and the Senate, do you think you'll reach that July 4th deadline so we can get some good fireworks?
And that is the goal. I tell you, we've been in this position before during the first several months of President Trump's leadership where what looks to be almost impossible, where members of Congress are screaming about something. And then Trump weighs in and puts the hammer down, and we get these things passed. So don't underestimate the power and influence of President Trump. There's always, when you legislate, always something you can find to vote against something. But you've got to step back and look for totality. This will stop the largest tax increase in American history. It also provides some tremendous pro-growth policies for businesses, like immediate expensing of capital, 100%. That will be a very pro-growth, stimulative type of effect. This allows the immediate expensing of research and development investments by businesses. That will promote more innovation to compete against the Chinese. So there's just some solid provisions here in this bill that are going to be pro-growth, because you can't get out of the fiscal mess we're in without growth. For every 1% increase in GDP growth over 10 years, it's $3 trillion of additional tax revenues. You grow the economy, you grow tax revenues. And look, by every measure, Aaron, the problem in our fiscal imbalance in Washington is not a revenue problem. It is a spending problem. And this bill does reduce spending by about $1.5 trillion. Yes, that's over 10 years, but it's actual spending reductions. We should be able to do a lot more. That's the part of the bill I don't like. I'd like to see us more aggressive in the spending cuts. But at some point, you got to step back and look at the totality. If we don't act, you're going to see a massive tax increase to the American people. That would cause a recession and be just devastating to our country's economy.
Yeah, I understand there's also some really good pro-gun rights stuff in this one big beautiful bill as well, and also a focus on ending the Green New Scam. But we should probably get to this one before we run out of time. This was huge news. You posted on X yesterday. I had to go through it, but there's so much going on right now that it's hard to keep up with all of the incredible news out there right now. You described this as a huge win for Montana, thanks to the Trump administration. Ag Secretary Rollins basically just announced that they are rescinding this roadless rule. This is huge for Montana.
It is, Aaron, and this is one of the challenges you face, is getting the news out to Montanans and the American people with how fast this administration is moving in the midst of just big newsworthy events. I mean, we got the big, beautiful bill. We've got the Iranians now with their nuclear capabilities destroyed. A lot in the news cycle, but there was a major announcement yesterday that's going to directly affect Montana. That came from our Secretary of Agriculture, Brooke Rollins, who, of course, the Forest Service reports through the Department of Agriculture. That's why it's in her domain. But she just rescinded a rule that will affect 58% of our national forest lands because they're restricted from any road development. And what that does is not allow us to get in there for fire prevention, for timber production. This was a roadless rule that was created 24 years ago. It's outdated and needs to be updated. And Secretary Rollins just gave us an enabler that allows us to get in it for timber projects to help reduce the risk of catastrophic wildfires. So a nice win for Montana, bringing us back to better balance on our national forests. The federal government is a terrible steward of our public lands, particularly our national forests. They don't manage it nearly as well as the state does or private landowners. This is a step in the right direction to be better stewards of our great public lands.
Yeah, and all about access as well for, you know, disabled hunters. I remember talking with a woman in Libby who said that those are the roads she used to go up and hunt as a disabled veteran. She needed that kind of access, but it was shut down by things like the Roadless Initiative. Well, Senator Steve Daines, great to catch up with you as always. About 20 seconds to go. What else do you want to tell folks across Montana?
Well, I tell you, it's hard to believe we're rapidly coming upon the 4th of July. This will be a celebration of our independence, our freedom. There is a lot to be thankful for, Aaron. In the midst of all the strife and turmoil in the United States and the world, let's not forget we woke up this morning in the greatest country on the planet. And we woke up in the greatest state in the United States as Montanans. So lots to be thankful for. Let's blow up a lot of fireworks on the 4th and celebrate that great rebellion and our freedom.
All right. Well, hold it right there. We're going to get to your phone calls right after this. 406-294-0970. Steve in Columbia Falls up first.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. What do you think about our conversation with Senator Steve Daines? Do you have a reaction or do you have something else you want to talk about? Well, give us a call because this is the show where you get to talk. 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. First up on the phone lines, we've got Steve in Columbia Falls listening to KJJR. Steve, what's going on? Thanks for calling.
Hi, Aaron. This is Steve. And, hey, I just had a quick question. I read in the news somewhere lately that the Iranians removed 400 kilos of enriched uranium from those three sites. And so I was just wondering, I mean, is that false news or have you heard anything about the truth of that? And if it is true, what can they do with that uranium? I mean, anyway, have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, so I've got a Fox News Radio story in front of me here, and this is the problem is that so often you see and hear stuff in the news, and then we find out it's totally debunked and that it's not actually news. It's just some deep state Democrat Party operative leaking fake news in order to steer the news. So, Steve, do you remember where you were or any remember when our incredible Navy SEALs, including Butte's Rob O'Neill, took out Osama bin Laden?
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, and so I remember the celebrations. I remember the reactions. We all were celebrating the news. We didn't sit back and say, well, you know, because Barack Obama's the president and because Barack Obama authorized the strike, we're going to figure out a way to downplay this. We're going to figure out a way to criticize this or to undermine it or, well, was right. That really him? Well, did we, you know, but why are so many in, you know, the fake news media, CNN, MSNBC, and these others doing that right now? It's like they so want to undermine Trump that they're willing to undermine American national security at the same time.
Yep. No, I totally agree. I totally agree with you. And Trump did the right thing. I'm convinced of that. I was just wondering if you had heard anything about the. Was there any factual evidence of them removing that uranium? I have no idea.
Well, I mean, it's a good question because I know there was satellite imagery showing you know a convoy of trucks at the Fordo site in particular. Days before the successful strikes on those Iranian nuclear facilities. So you know, a lot of people, it kind of goes back to, remember the whole WMDs in Iraq thing where,
right.
Okay, look, even, you know, Saddam himself told people that he had WMDs. And Saddam had so much warning time ahead of time that somebody was coming that he could have moved anything out of the country at the time. But that point aside, it's a good question. Okay, were those trucks moving? So there's one of these so-called sources claims that there's concern about the whereabouts of 440 kilograms of 60% enriched uranium once stored at Fordo. And so the apparently one of these leakers are claiming that may have been moved, but even the leaked claim is is saying low confidence with regard to whether that enriched uranium had been moved or not. I mean, either way, at the end of the day, their nuclear capability just sounds like has been, you know, seriously degraded.
I think that's great. Yeah, I had no idea. I mean, you would think that if all that uranium was there when it was blown up, would that have had any effect on, you know, your radioactive release and all that? Or I had no idea about that either.
Yeah, and really, I guess my question is I wonder how much any of our intelligence assessors can really assess when really it's Israel's the ones that actually have people on the ground.
Probably this is real secretive,
Yeah, I would think so. Oh, yeah. Here's what I found interesting, though. So right now, it looks like and Steve, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. It looks like President Trump, as we speak, President Trump, Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, and Florida State, I keep saying Florida Secretary of State. He's a former Florida senator, but he's the current United States Secretary of State, Marco Rubio. They are. It looks like they're doing a press conference, speaking at this NATO summit. They're at this big NATO summit. Caden, keep your finger on the red button in case there's a word that we can't use here, but I think it's clean here. I've listened to it, but you just never know. Nick Sartor just shared this on X. Holy crap! Pete Hegseth just ripped apart fake news, CNN, and the New York Times for pushing an agenda about Iran. Let's see what Pete Hegseth has to say.
There's a reason the president calls out fake news for what it is. These pilots, these refuelers, these fighters, these air defenders, the skill and the courage it took to go into enemy territory flying 36 hours on behalf of the American people and the world to take out a nuclear program is beyond what anyone in this audience can fathom. And then the instinct of CNN, the instinct of the New York Times is to try to find a way to spin it for their own political reasons to try to hurt President Trump or our country. They don't care what the troops think. They don't care what the world thinks. They want to spin it to try to make him look bad based on a leak. Of course, we've all seen plenty of leakers. And what do leakers do? They have agendas. And what do? Do they share the whole information or just the part that they want to introduce? And when they introduce that preliminary report that's deemed to be a low assessment, you know what a low assessment means? Low confidence in the data in that report. And why is there low confidence? Because all of the evidence of what was just bombed by 30,000 pound bombs is buried under a mountain, devastated and obliterated. So if you want to make an assessment of what happened at Fordow, you better get a big shovel and go really deep, because Iran's nuclear program is obliterated. And somebody somewhere is trying to leak something to say, oh, with low confidence, we think maybe it's moderate. Those that dropped the bombs precisely in the right place know exactly what happened when that exploded. And you know who else knows? Iran. That's why they came to the table right away, because their nuclear capabilities have been set back beyond what they thought were possible because of the courage of a commander-in-chief who led our troops, despite what the fake news wants to say.
Well said there by Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, who was here, got to meet him in Montana back in 2019. Yeah. Iran got hit on Saturday night, and by Monday night, they were already tapping out. Oh, but they just decided to tap out just because. Give me a break. These people, I tell you what. All right, 406-294-0970. Let's go next. We've got Skip in Hamilton on the phone lines. Skip, what's going on?
Hey, thank you, Aaron. And I was just listening to Hegseth. He's pretty tough, and I enjoyed the way he described it. And people don't realize, and someone like yourself, who has a service background like you do, would realize how amazing it is to keep the planes up there. They were refueled many times, if I'm not mistaken. That was quite a mission. And then they had a diversion group go a different direction. I mean, it was exciting, and it was hopefully something that's going to do a wonderful thing for the world by setting back any kind of program that Iran had. But I want to ask something about what Senator Daines said. Could you give some definition to the areas that would have been right now roadless, but will be turned into non-roadless? Are they on national forest, or do they include wilderness study areas? Is there any danger, I call it danger, to putting roads in designated wilderness?
So the roadless rule, this would apply to areas where the roadless rule, the roadless initiative that goes back to the Clinton era. Great question. Let me see if I got the answer for you here in this USDA press release. I kept it in front of me. Skip, thanks for the call. So, you know, the big picture here is, as we've been talking about, President Trump and now our Republican congressional delegation are working to make America great again, which means we've got to make our timber industry great again, which means we've got to make mining in America great again, which means we've got to make timber industry in Montana great again, which means we make mining in Montana great again. We get the, so from my standpoint, those mines that we've got right near Libby, Montana, why do miners from Montana have to fly to Alaska to earn a high-wage mining job when they can have a high-wage mining job right here in Libby, Montana? So it all ties together, right? And I know you agree, Skip, because we are like-minded folks here. So Bill Clinton is the guy who gave us Judge Don Malloy, that left-wing federal hack judge in Missoula who is in the back pocket of the communist Chinese, who is in the back pocket of the radical environmental groups. You know, he'll shut down your job in a heartbeat. But boy, when China needed TikTok, he jumped at their beck and call, didn't he? Bill Clinton gave us the Roadless Initiative, and he gave us Don Malloy, because the Democrats since back then have been trying to kill the timber industry, and they've done a pretty dang good job at it. Donald J. Trump is working to rebuild and make our timber industry great again. But now he rescinds this Roadless Rule initiative. Here's what the USDA press release has to say here. Rescinding this rule will remove prohibitions on road construction. Here's another key. Reconstruction. How many of you out there, you're driving around and you're thinking, man, that's the road I used to go, you know, drive up to get to my favorite hunting spot. I can't drive that road anymore. Well, they're talking reconstruction now. So it will remove prohibitions for timber harvest on nearly 59 million acres of the national forest system. So when it comes to wilderness, no, they won't be building roads in wilderness areas. That's not allowed in wilderness areas. This goes to multiple-use national forest lands. In total, about 30% of national forest system lands are impacted by this rule. For example, nearly 60% of Forest Service land in Utah is restricted from road development and is unable to be properly managed for fire risk. Here we go, Montana. In Montana, 58% of our land is restricted from road development and is unable to be properly managed for fire risk. So let that one simmer here and burn for just a few minutes, and then we'll get to another caller here. Right after the break, we've got Stan and Roundup next up. Stan, stand by. We'll get to you. 406-294-0970 if you want to weigh in as well.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
Yesterday in Great Falls, BASF launched its newest canola innovation, Invigor Gold, a yellow-seeded canola hybrid tailored for the northern Great Plains. Matt Smith is a BASF agronomist.
Canola is a great rotational crop. It's a deeper rooted crop. Outside of sunflowers, it's the deepest rooted crop you could probably grow dry land in Montana. So that opens up the soil, and then we get some residual sulfur from our sulfur applications in canola as well, and that's beneficial to whatever's left over there is beneficial to our cereal crops. And it's got a herbicide tolerance. So everything we're out in here is Liberty Link, and a lot of our kochia glyphosate, it's not working so well, and some of our other herbicides in cereals aren't working so well anymore. So it's a nice fit there to get another mode of action on your acres with a different herbicide as well.
Governor Greg Gianforte was also in attendance.
It's really innovation that keeps industry growing, and ag is our number one industry in Montana. This new canola seed is more drought resilient, and it's going to give new options to farmers here in Montana, both for the traditional uses of canola, but also the growing biofuels section that Calumet has really pioneered. So I'm just hats off to BASF for their innovation in this area, and we'll look forward to seeing the results on the ground.
I'm Wayne Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So it's really a question of BDA. What's the BDA? I know we got some great infantrymen here from Montana that were over in Iraq and places like that. And you'd always have to do the paperwork out. What's the BDA? What's the BDA? All right, here's the BDA, the Battle Damage Assessment. That was a question that was asked similar to our caller there, Steve in Columbia Falls. Great phone call from Steve. Similar to his question about what is the BDA? There's all these claims of leaks and of this and of that. You heard Pete Hegseth fire off at the press there at the NATO summit. Montana's U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy was asked about the BDA as well and these leaks, alleged leaks that are out there. Once again, and so I'll play his reaction to this. But the one thing that I threw out there of why it's a good question as to whether or not, you know, nuclear material was removed from the Fordo site is because remember there was all that truck traffic at the Fordo nuclear site, and so you know anybody could ask a reasonable question to say, well, were they moving some stuff out of there? Were they expecting a strike? I think Iran actually thought they could mess around and find out. Or actually, I think they thought they could mess around and not find out. Because for 46 years, longer than I have been alive, the Shah fell before I was even born. The terrorists took over Tehran before I was even born. Many of you were around back then. Many of you were already adults by then. They have been attacking Americans. They've been killing Americans for 46 years. And they didn't even think Donald Trump would have the guts to do what Donald Trump had the guts to do over the weekend. And then 2 days later, they tap out. They call it quits. But Tom in Three Forks just sent us a message during the break on the Montana Talks app. Tom actually turns that question around the other way, which I think he's wise to do so. He says, well, what if they were moving material into Fordo? It was their most secure site. That's a really good question. What? See, you can look at that, the truck traffic at Fordo now in hindsight and say, oh, well, they got hit by, you know, President Trump and his incredible B-2 bombers, and they got hit by the subs and incredible submariners, and oh, yeah, they were moving stuff out. Well, I don't think they thought they were going to get hit. I thought they could just keep doing the same effing around they've been doing for 46 years against this country. But they found out, didn't they? And then 2 days later, they tapped out. So Tom, that's a really good question. I'm glad I checked our Montana Talks app messages during the break. Okay, before I get to Stan and Roundup, real quick, when it comes to BDA, here's Senator Sheehy on Fox News yesterday.
But no matter what the BDA says, there's no question we severely set their program back. And again, more importantly, we've sent a message to the Ayatollah and their terrible murderous regime that they're dealing with a different. There's a new sheriff in town. We're not going to tolerate them literally trying to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, trying to attack American servicemen and American bases across the region, which they've been doing. Let's not forget, they started this war with us 46 years ago. So President Trump taking the war to Iran, it's not starting a war, it's ending one. They've essentially been allowed to conduct combat operations against innocent civilians and American troops all over the world for the last half century without response from us directly. And for me personally, as someone who lost friends to the Iranians, who fought the Iranians directly and indirectly throughout the region in our insurgency wars there, I'm glad we have a president who's standing up to this threat and hitting it head on.
Yeah,
there you go. And by the way, I'm older than Tim Sheehy. And so the Iranian regime has been killing Americans longer than both of us have been alive. Let's go to Stan and Roundup on the phone lines. We got phone lines open for you. If you call right now, we should be able to get to you. 406-294-0970. Stan, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Aaron, and thank you for your platform and what you do. Hey, I haven't heard this talked about. Maybe I missed it, but there's a nexus. Maybe somebody with better skills than me can kind of do some digging. Go into Mike Lee, the author of this federal land acquisition. Mike Lee, I know years back, his number one contributor was Microsoft, believe it or not. believe it or not.
Really?
Yes, and that needs to be looked into. Now, let's go from Microsoft and jump over to another man named Bill Gates, okay? Now, look at, we need to do a little investigation regarding Bill Gates, I think we understand and have heard about his land acquisitions and what he wants to do with the future of agriculture. And he needs land to be able to promote that. So, in short, I'm losing my voice here for whatever reason, but go from Mike Lee, go to Microsoft, his contributions he's been receiving, then go to Bill Gates, and then go to Gates and land acquisition, and maybe this gives a better understanding to why Mike Lee is the author. And I'll leave it at that and let you guys do some digging. It might be worthwhile.
All right. Well, Stan, thanks for the call. I like it. Yeah, Mike Lee, for those who don't know, is a Utah senator, and I like Mike Lee on a number of things. He's a solid constitutionalist. But on this one, yeah, no matter what people think about the whole, federal lands debate here, it's not going anywhere. You see all the fake phony environmental groups are trying to get a buzz going. They're trying to get a stir going. Oh, the one big beautiful bill is going to sell public lands. Look, Congressman Ryan Zinke got it pulled out of the House bill. Senator Sheehy, Senator Daines are against doing that in the Senate. And actually, I don't even think it's going to be able to be included in the Senate bill. The Senate parliamentarian basically has ruled that from a parliamentary procedure standpoint and the rules of the Senate, it doesn't even pass muster on that front. And the whole point of a one big beautiful bill is to get a bill that only needs a simple majority to pass, so that you can avoid a filibuster. Because if you're talking about permanent tax relief for working class folks like you and I, there's no way you're going to get to 60 votes. There's no way the Democrats would support tax relief for you and I. Death tax relief? You think the Democrats who put Tracy Stone Manning in charge of the Bureau of Land Management to kick ranchers off the land to help out her buddies with the APR, you think they're going to give death tax relief to farmers and ranchers? They want to see your ranch gone, which is why they're constantly shoving these federal regulations down your throats while giving special perks to their buddies at the APR. They want to fundamentally transform this country into something else. So, long story short, I don't think it's going anywhere in the Senate bill either, and it wouldn't pass muster in the House. Hey, another big story. Somehow I missed this one. I've been following the HSI, Homeland Security Investigations / ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. I've been following HSI Salt Lake City because they've announced, and I try to get notifications whenever they post things, because that's where we'll get news when these illegal aliens are arrested and then eventually deported from here in Montana. But I hadn't been following the HSI Denver office, which covers, Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, and apparently parts of Montana. I thought the Salt Lake City office covered Montana. But anyway, so somehow I missed this from a few days ago. But thankfully, Kat in eastern Montana posted on X about this here last night. She, first, Kat says this. She says, the thing that the Montana Democrats say never happened, happened. We already have a terrible missing persons problem in Montana. We don't need this guy adding to the problem. So what's she referring to here? Okay, so here is the HSI. HSI Helena, Montana office. Arrested. Was this in the news? For some reason, the Montana news did not make a big deal out of this. Maybe it wasn't in the news. We know that they downplayed the invasion of illegal aliens for years, so it wouldn't surprise me if they all ignored this story. HSI Helena, Montana office arrested Eric Sanchez Banegas, an illegal alien from Honduras. Get this. After receiving a tip that he was attempting a kidnapping. Agents attempted a vehicle stop, at which point Sanchez rammed an agent's vehicle. He was arrested and will enter removal proceedings. So, great job, HSI. Great job, ICE. And great job, Kat in Eastern Montana, for sharing that news. Because I hadn't seen, maybe I missed it. Maybe somebody wrote about it and I missed it. But I hadn't seen that news anywhere else yet. But, yeah, we've got a missing and murdered people problem. We've got a missing and murdered indigenous persons problem. And now we've got an illegal alien arrested for trying to kidnap somebody. But, oh, the media didn't want you to think that illegal aliens were part of the problem.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, if you call in right now, I should be able to get to you before we run out of time here on the show, 406-294-0970. Before I get to the next caller, if you go back and watch or listen to one thing from yesterday, it is Victor Davis Hanson, VDH. He was on Jesse Waters' show last night on Fox News, but Jesse Waters was talking about how some congressional Democrats like AOC want to impeach Donald J. Trump for this incredibly successful operation this past weekend. And he said, what are they going to impeach him for? Peace? Really, the articles of impeachment, well, peace. Peace in the Middle East. That's what they're going to impeach him for. He should get a Nobel Peace Prize, but some Democrats like AOC want to impeach him. But listen to what Victor Davis Hanson said. First off, he weighed in on that front and talked about how the more successful Trump is, the more loony they get opposing him and trying to stop him, right? But then he added this.
And then the other thing is, we've lived in a 50-year myth, a Potemkin myth about the Iranians, that where they had this indomitable army and Hezbollah was these goose-stepping Nazi killers. And, you know, whether it was a Marine barracks or killing Americans in Iraq, we were always told you can't do this to Iran because they're indomitable. And in 12 days, Israelis blew up that myth. And Trump put the coup de grace on it. They have no air defenses. They have no air force. They have no top physicists. As you said, the top leadership is in hiding. The generals have been killed off. The Hezbollah is in shambles, maimed, dead, or in hiding. There is no Hamas, really. The Houthis want to make a deal. There's no Syria anymore. There's no platform for their supplies. Russia's been kicked out. This is just a miraculous development. It's a whole new Middle East. And here the left can't even appreciate what's happened.
Yeah, well said by the great military historian and world historian, Victor Davis Hanson. And by the way, what he was just saying that right there vindicates exactly what Dr. Mehrdad Kia from the University of Montana told us on this show. I think last week when we had him on the show, he said he has long argued that the regime in Tehran is a paper tiger. That just put on this appearance of being so tough, put on this appearance of being so strong, not just to force the rest of the world to capitulate and to cower and to refuse to stand up to them, but as a way to intimidate his own people back there in Tehran from overthrowing the regime as well. So very interesting as you piece all this together. Frank in Evergreen on the phone lines. Frank, good to hear from you. What's going on?
Yeah, I just want to say back in 1957, my dad had a friend who's he was about 30 years old up in Republic, Washington. He was he drove a dump truck hauling uranium ore, and he was dying of radiation poisoning. And of course, he'd haul his stuff out, and they put it in the ore cars on the railroad, and but. You know, it's very dangerous stuff. This is not even enriched, enriched bring uranium at all, you know. So those people that are scrounging for radioactive materials over there don't know what they're doing. It's just you'd have to have really good radiation suits that they didn't even have back in the 50s.
Yeah, but yeah, obviously anybody, if they were doing an on-the-ground, on-site BDA, battle damage assessment, yeah, you would want to have, I mean, you would have... you'd have dosimeters on you. You'd have a full-on kit, full-on suit to protect you across the board. So, yeah, just I don't know much about it. I know a little bit about it, though. But served with some great men who definitely know a lot about that threat. But yeah, well, just uranium mining in general. I mean, there's things that we didn't know or didn't do 75 or 100 years ago. But now we know how to do it. I mean, just nuclear energy, period. I mean, Jordan Peterson, the great psychologist from Canada, he was talking about these small-scale modular nuclear reactors now, and how you don't even have the meltdown risk that the old nuclear power plants had from before. And, you know, uranium mining, I mean, we know how to do it now. In fact, Wyoming, they are like... full-blown moving forward with more uranium mining, more nuclear power, and so, you know, to build energy, of course. But then as you develop that technology, it also helps build the industrial, engineering, and scientific base to back up our national security infrastructure as well. Frank, good to hear from you. Let's see. We got about, only about a minute or so to go here. What should we leave you with? Oh, let's go back to, again, Stephen Columbia Falls asked a really good question when it comes to the, okay, what do we believe? We hear all this stuff in the news. What do we believe? What do we not believe? Longhorn Nation just sent me a post on X. They are not journalists. They are highly paid actors. And then shared some photographs of the CNN MSNBC crew. Vice President J.D. Vance weighed in about the last 20 minutes here. And he basically says the American media is full of the least curious, least insightful people in our country. A dozen 30,000-pound bunker busters were dropped on Iran's main nuclear site. No one disputes they hit their targets. No one disputes the explosive or destructive power. Anyway, but CNN and MSNBC, here they go again. Cuckoo.